Hare Krishna. So tonight we'll hear some excerpts from another book written by Kavi Karnapur. This is called Krishnanika Komudhi. And just as when we were hearing the Ananda Brindavan Champu, we were hearing about Krishna's activities. Similarly, on the Nitya Eternal Brindavan platform, Krishna's activities don't reveal a babyhood and a childhood and a departure from Vrindavan, going to Mathura and Dwarka. But actually Krishna's pastimes go on continuously, always in the present. This means that in one sense there is no influence of time, no past, present and future. But without past, present and future, how can we order a day? Then that would mean we would be in like nowhere, no place. So the reconciliation is that time itself, past, present, future, serves Krishna on the transcendental eternal plane, whereas here time dictates our birth and our duration of life and ultimately our death. So I would like to share with you all just like a little glimpse, just like if, say, for example, you were able to peep through the keyhole of somebody's house, say some very, very, very important, wealthy, significant celebrity of this world, and you could peep through the keyhole and watch what they're doing inside in their private life that no one else gets to see, you might be very astonished by the opulence of their surroundings or the magnitude of the servants that they have taking care of them, or the wealth and the beauty of their dress and all of their various paraphernalia. But just imagine if you could have a peep through the keyhole into the eternal realm of the unlimited Supreme Personality, who has unlimited wealth, unlimited beauty, unlimited opulences of every kind, are waiting to serve him for his pleasure. Just imagine. We cannot imagine. We cannot hardly imagine what it would be like, perhaps, to get this moment of experience of a very, very important person. But sometimes it is said that when we hear the pastimes that are told to us from realized pure souls who have transcendental perception, then through their spiritual eyes they can see something and then they can describe it. So if we were to get the blessings of Giriraj to be able to take this wonderful journey of adventure tonight, then it would allow us to have the seed of realization that the Supreme Lord Bhagavan is a person with all delightful qualities. And if this small realization takes birth in your heart, then from then on you will feel a disgust for the so-called interesting recounts of the lives of men who are imbued with all bad qualities and unfit to be meditated upon. Your attraction to worldly rasa may still be there, but the beginning of a higher taste has now been achieved. So please just relax, and I will try my best to share with you something from this wonderful book of Kavi Karnapur. He wants us to enter into this realm and open your consciousness to trying to hear this selection of the daily pastimes of the supremely blissful, all-loving, all-perfect person. By the mercy of Giriraj, we are all sitting here. We should perhaps again, in our heart's mind, or with our heart's eyes, we should close our eyes and we should watch the walls disappear. And we should make our way out to Giriraj. And right now, Giriraj is effulgent, extraordinarily effulgent, from a beautiful divine full moon whose beams are beaming down on Giriraj and also upon ourselves. And then we should take in our hands a beautiful present for Giriraj. You can take, if you want, a ghee lamp. You can take a golden box with something very special inside. You can take some fruit if you want, or an extraordinarily beautiful garland. Or you can take some wonderfully fragrant incense, or some beautiful cloth. And you can take that in your hands and go to Giriraj, who's radiant in the full moonlight, and place your offering at the edge of Giriraj, who's now extraordinarily beautiful with beautiful trees that have golden trunks and ruby-like leaves. And he has glistening jewels instead of simply the stones which we adore so much and we see here every day. And we place our offering there. And we pray to Giriraj, please, if you could be so kind to me, please allow me to peep through the keyhole into this transcendental Nitya Lila abode of Sri Krishna's. So I will again read three sections. And as I explained, and many of you know, the pastimes on the transcendental eternal platform are measured in terms of times of the day. So there are 8 sections, 3-hour sections of the day. And during those 8 periods of the day, Krishna acts in various ways. And just because we might think that after a while, we might get a bit bored there, because everything here is, after a while, it's boring. But there, every day is completely different. The elements move and shift to please Krishna in a kaleidoscopic way. But still, every morning Krishna rises at this time. And every day he has his breakfast, but everything is very, very unique, spontaneous, and eternally variegated. So let us begin. This is the second period of the day between approximately 6 a.m. and 8:30 a.m. At sunrise, Mother Yasoda, abounding with parental affection, enters Krishna's bejeweled bedroom to wake him up, saying, "Oh, my dear boy, please get up now. The night is over. Just see the beauty of the rising sun. All your young servants are standing here, waiting to expertly serve you. Your pet parrot, Manjuvak, whom you fed with your own hand, sits blissfully in his golden cage, trying to lovingly wake you up with his sweet voice, saying, 'Jai, Jai, Jai.' You are feeling lazy, because you have just been sleeping. But now it is time to get up. Saying this, Mother Yasoda gently rubs Krishna's body for a short time, and then she embraces him with her arms. Hearing his mother's sweet words and feeling her affectionate embrace, Krishna considers for a moment, and then he stretches his limbs and yawns and pretends that he is just now waking up. Then Yasoda instructs a very qualified group of expert servants in their respective duties, and she enters her own quarters. Krishna is now roused from sleep, and his eyes are very beautiful as they keep opening and closing and opening and closing. He is half awake and half asleep. The goddess of sleep is very reluctant to leave him because of the pain she will feel in separation. Fortunate young girls come and perform an aarti by slowly moving splendid jewel-inlaid ghee lamps with many flames. The joyful young male and female servants have now become absorbed in their various activities. The boys have turbans tied handsomely and jeweled necklaces around their necks. Their bodies are fragrant like lotus pollen, and they wear garments of blue, green, white, red, and yellow. They are adorned with the noblest of qualities. Now, rising from bed, Krishna sits gracefully on a beautiful footstool. He slowly washes the lotus whirl of his face, and after drying his face and hands with a soft, fine cloth, Krishna beams a gentle smile. And then he accepts a soft toothbrushing twig from his servants. He gently brushes his teeth, which reflect the radiance of his jeweled finger ring. And his earrings swing back and forth to fill the eyes of everyone with happiness. Holding a ruby inlaid comb in her lotus hand, one Sevadasi, with a very innocent smile, gently combs Krishna's hair. The comb and her bangles tinkle sweetly as she moves her hand. As the day begins, one servant expert in fine arts removes Krishna's night clothes and dresses him in fresh ones. He then washes and dries Krishna's lotus feet and deftly wraps a turban around his head. Then Krishna goes to the Goshala to milk the cows, and then he enters the jewel-bedecked wrestling arena and playfully fights with his friends. After some rest, he accepts a massage with costly aromatic oils, and finally a fine ground mix of saffron and camphor powder. Then the servant girls come and they wash his hair with yogurt and amalaki juice, and they bathe him in camphor-scented water poured from crystal and golden pots. The servants then bathe Krishna and dry his body and his hair with fine soft cloths. And one boy arrives with fresh silken garments, the color of molten gold. Krishna sits down while the boys dry his hair and gently form his hair into its natural curls. Then tilak is applied like a half moon using saffron and sandalwood paste. All Krishna's jewelry is placed around his neck, around his waist, around his arms, around his wrists, and around his anklets, and also on his fingers. Then around his waist is a string of bells adorned with sparkling rubies. A servant lovingly holds a splendid jeweled mirror before Krishna's shining moonlight face. And then Yasoda sends a snack of some butter, yogurt, milk and cream mixed with camphor to stop Krishna from becoming hungry before breakfast. Meanwhile, Srimati Radharani has also been woken from her bed, and now she sits upon a golden seat. Her clothes and her hair are disheveled, and her eyes roll in drowsiness as she greets all of her dear friends. Lovingly, the girls bring water for her to sip and rinse her mouth, and by the touch of her hand, that water turns crimson. Lalita gently removes her sweet, fragrant-smelling night clothes and prepares her for her massage with sweetly scented reddish oil. She is then anointed with musk, saffron, and sandalwood. One very intimate friend washes Radha's hair with water from a golden pitcher, while another Sakhi dries her hair and spreads her hair with her fingers. After Radha is fully bathed, she is dressed in a gem-studded silken bodice and a golden threaded skirt that kisses the tips of her toes. Her waist is covered in a beautiful silk cloth, and she is adorned with many, many ornaments. Her hair is lovingly combed with a jeweled comb and then perfumed with the smoke of black sandalwood incense. The gopis that curl Radhika's beautiful hair then paint vermilion in her part, and with a red silken string they bind her hair into a bun, which is then covered by a row of sparkling diamonds and a garland of fresh malati flowers. After decorating her ears with diamond earrings and her eyes with fragrant kajal, her nose is decorated with a single beautiful pearl. All her necklaces are placed around her neck. Her bracelets, rings, and anklets complete the artistry of her dressing. And finally, after decorating every part of Radhika's soft, auspicious body and judging that it is a most delightful spectacle, the gopis drape her in a fine woolen shawl, which they place over Radhika's shoulders. Fragrant, beautifully dressed, and lavishly ornamented, Radhika then stands amidst her friends. Soon after Radhika is dressed, one Sakhi comes from Nandagram And she lovingly brings Radha to Nandagram to cook Krishna's breakfast. Radha enters the kitchen. She takes off all her beautiful jewelry and places it outside and lovingly begins to prepare breakfast for Krishna. Now, in our meditational mind, we can see that the full moon has now disappeared with the coming of morning, and the sun is now shining very, very brightly all over Govardhan. So we can now hear what happens next. So Krishna has woken, and also he has taken his breakfast. Despite the pain of separation felt by his parents, Krishna now goes off to the forest. Please hear. When the cows see Krishna approaching with his friends, they automatically form rows and start gently walking. As they fill the directions with their blissful mooing, Krishna's cows create a festival of delight for the ears. Sridham, Subal, and the other cowherd boys run behind, in front, and beside Krishna, shouting, "I will touch Krishna first." The jeweled ornaments and gunja necklaces and peacock feathers atop their heads glitter in every direction. The pleasing sound of their flutes, their horns, and their panpipes combine with the sweet, blissful mooing of the cows to rival the rumbling of thunder. As this music resounds upwards towards the heavens, the demigods lose their gravity and they glorify Krishna's procession to the forest with shouts of Jai, 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 Hari Bol. The cows drip a constant stream of milk from their udders as they prance around happily with Krishna. Upon reaching the edge of Vrindavan, the cows all stand still and they turn their faces towards him, as if expressing their inner desires. Seeing this and understanding their hearts, the most merciful and playful Krishna, the giver of love, along with Balaram and the cowherd boys, leads those cows to a stretch of land covered with succulent, attractive green grass. Because new sprouts appear at every moment, the amount of grass is inexhaustible. After bringing the cows to this wide plot of land covered with emerald green grass, Krishna glances at the cows and then he stands in his threefold bending form, leaning on his stick in the shade of his favorite kadamba tree and kissing his flute with his red lotus lips. He sends sweet melodies in all directions. The cows shake their tails only to increase the splendor of the scene and not to chase away horseflies or mosquitoes. their ears forever yearn for the nectar of the sound of Krishna's flute, and their eyes long to look at his face. Their minds desire the company, his company, and their voices long to call out to him. Whether close by or far away, all the cows and the boys receive the same affection from Krishna as they offer to him. Quite soon, Krishna will have to go and meet the gopis. So he waits until his friends are all busy playing, laughing, joking, and then with a few younger boys who he's very friendly with, he just slips off and all the boys continue playing. Around midday, this is another section, 11 o'clock till 3:30 is the midday section of Krishna's day. Around midday, he slips away from his friends who do not notice his sudden departure, and he arrives at a place where Radha and her friends are gathering forest flowers. Immediately, he begins a quarrel, which results in many harsh words from Radha and her friends. Lalita says, "Surely you have lost your intelligence. Why do you claim that this forest is yours?" Krishna, "He who has qualification becomes its master." Radha, "Give up all these useless exchanges that always end in fruitless arguments." Krishna, "I have come to you because I am dependent on you. I am your servant. Although I am an ocean of good qualities, what can I do to please you?" As the gopis hear these very sweet words from Krishna, from their beloved, suddenly all their pride disappears. Then Krishna spends time with the gopis. He plays in the forests with them. He goes from one forest to another. All the seasons have their own forest. And when he goes into that forest, they manifest all the beauties of winter, or the monsoon, or spring, or summer. And Krishna wanders from forest to forest with his gopi friends. Then they wander singing and joking to Radha Kund, and they bathe in the crystal clear, lotus-filled waters of those lakes. And they playfully wager in a game of dice their favorite objects. And finally, they share a forest picnic. Many items have been brought from their homes, including yogurt, pomegranate juice, and many, many golden bowls full of different kinds of fruits, including coconuts, sweet, sound, solid grapes, and sweet pilu fruits. Crystal glasses full of cooling drinks, such as a drink made of camphor, pepper, sugar, camphor, pepper, and ample sugar. Radhika very deftly picks up a little of each fragrant item and places it in Krishna's mouth. Then Krishna, smiling sweetly, he does the same thing and places fruits in Radha's mouth. Radha takes a golden knife and she expertly cuts up the mangoes, and she offers this to Krishna which he eats with great relish. Then, when his forest picnic is complete, Krishna takes some excellent scented spices mixed with camphor, and then he lies down upon a jeweled platform. Vrindadevi arrives, and she has all the Sakis and Radha sit together, and she serves them personally Krishna's remnants from the picnic. And each item is relished and made more relishable due to the touch of Krishna's lips.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Rama Rama Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare Rama Rama Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Radhe Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Everybody please. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Radhe Shyam, Radhe Shyam, Radhe Shyam, Radhe Shyam. Nitai Gaura Haribal, 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 Nitai Gaura Haribal.
So, as we again turn our inner gaze towards Giriraj, we can see that the sun has risen high in the sky, and now it's starting to come towards setting. and Krishna has begun to get ready to go home. The cowherd boys feel unlimited happiness upon seeing Krishna's return. To render different services, a few expert servants amongst the boys immediately surround the Lord, whose dark blue complexion is more lustrous than a fresh rain cloud. Overflowing with friendly love, Krishna greets all of his friends. The 6 hours that the boys have spent playing with Krishna seem to have passed in only a few seconds. But the time of their separation when Krishna was with the gopis felt like a millennium. As the boys come together from all directions, they give up their worries and they inquire from Krishna, "Hey Sakha, where have you been for such a long time? Why have you avoided playing with us?" Hearing these affectionate words and seeing his dear friend standing there, Krishna replies to their questions. It appears as if bees, intoxicated by the fragrance of Krishna's mouth and smile, are kissing the flower of his words. He says, "You see, my friends, I went to the Jamuna to get some relief from the summer heat. I was accompanied by a few young boys skilled in service. It would have taken too long for everyone to bathe, so I did not take you. I see all the cows are happily munching grass, and now it is time to give up our play and return to Vraj. So call the cows back to the Goshala with the sound of your flutes and horns." Headed by Balaram, the boys, who were saturated with friendly affection for one another, slowly walk back to Vraj. They play their flutes and they call the cows. The two young boys, Krishna and Balaram, and their circle of friends journey through one forest to another until they're returning back to their homes, looking like two young elephants. One is effulgent and blue, and the other is effulgent and white, and they spontaneously attract the three worlds. Meanwhile, what happens to the forest? In fever of separation from Krishna, the birds beat their bodies with the hands of their wings, and they chirp loudly to express their pain as if they're weeping. The does, their bodies afflicted in separation from their beloved, stare in all directions, looking for Krishna, as if they had no eyelids. Then stunned, they pray for the treasure of one more glance at Krishna. The peacocks drag their tails along the ground as they walk sadly behind. behind Krishna. The pure, colorful dust of Braj is kicked up by the calf's hooves, and it becomes sprinkled on Krishna's curly hair by the gentle breeze, and it looks like pollen on the body of bees. Krishna's beautiful black hair hangs down beneath his white turban, which is decorated with leaves, flowers, and dust from the cow's hooves. The gopis in Vrindavan, in Vraj, they first see that dust raised by the hooves of the cows in the distance. And then they hear the flute and the sound of the cows mooing. They rush from their homes to stand beside the road to see Krishna returning. The young children and their elders happily greet Krishna as he blissfully enters Vraj. Krishna reciprocates by looking lovingly upon each child, everyone, each person. He glances at them and he offers his respects to every elder. And he shows regard to each of his nurses who have more affection for Krishna than for their own children. Krishna's gentle, sweet smile attracts everyone in the village of Braj. Her heart brimming with motherly love, Mother Yasoda stands in the courtyard, eagerly staring at the road leading to Krishna. She says, "Then when Krishna comes, she takes the two boys and she enters the house with her two sons. And she turns to the other boys and she says, O friends of my sons, now you must all go to your own homes." And in this way, she sends off Krishna's friends. Yasoda stays for a while in the palace courtyard, carefully instructing all the servants who are totally dedicated to Krishna's pleasure. One servant takes his horn and his flute and his stick. Another servant removes gently his garland. Another one removes his ornaments, while another one removes his turban, his belt, and brushes the dust from his limbs. Another blissful servant cleans his face and then his feet with a piece of cloth and then gently combs his hair. Other servants skillfully massage Krishna's body from head to toe with fragrant, colorful oils. And then his affectionate servants bathe him. And after drying his body, they dress him and ornament him. And then he and Balaram sit down on both sides of their father and they take their evening meal. After which, Krishna goes to the barn for the evening milking of the cows. Now please hear. Birds return from all directions to settle safely into their nests. Ghee lamps are lit at every house in all directions. As all directions turn grey, Giriraj is also turning grey, in the absence of the rays of sunlight. It is now time for the cow's evening milking in the village of Gokul, which resounds with the crying of calves and lies far, far beyond all material illusion. As Krishna nears the Goshala, the lamp lights flicker and the cows let loose a chorus of mooing. And the combination of the flickering lights and the mooing, which sounds like an uludvani, appears just like an arti being offered to welcome Krishna. At the time of milking, the cows all clamor at once to sound like the groaning of an empty stomach. Krishna smiles at this as he lifts his dhoti and ties it up and then squats down. Then holding a golden milk pail between his knees, Krishna begins to milk the cows with his soft hands. The cows freely release their milk immediately upon feeling the delightful touch of Krishna and seeing the beauty of his moon-like face. Then Krishna goes to his bedroom. Please hear. Now we're in the 8:30 till 10:48. This is the evening pastimes. Some very obedient Sevadasis, or servant girls, have washed and dried and scented Krishna's bedroom with black aguru incense. With its decoration of perfumed garlands and jeweled pots topped with colorful flags, Krishna's bedroom is splendorous and very, very pleasant to see. It is also adorned with pleasurable objects carved out of pure white ivory. Krishna's golden bedstead is inlaid with many jewels. It has posts made of moonstone, and it is covered with attractive pillows and soft sheets as white as milk foam. The moonlight shining through the window makes the bed look like a thousand drifting clouds. Beautiful green parrots perch in the corner of the room. And with a desire to sleep, Krishna enters this excellent apartment, accompanied by various male and female servants. Before Krishna goes to sleep, he puts on his jewel inlaid slippers and steps onto the veranda of his bedroom along with his entourage of servants. He stays there for some time, appreciating the incredible sweetness of the atmosphere and thinking about how this is the perfect place for his pastimes. Then returning to his bedroom, Krishna sits on a jeweled cushion on a gem-studded cot, and he accepts a nightdress from his servants who sprinkles some water on his face and feet. Then Mother Yasoda comes in, and she's intensely anxious that Krishna will take some kheer that she has made. She says, "Oh my darling, the night is so long. Please, take this kheer and then go to sleep. In this way you won't suffer any pains of hunger during the night." Krishna replies, "O fortunate mother, I don't feel hungry at all, but I will take it because you say it is beneficial for me. And now you can go to your room." Yasoda replies to her lotus-eyed son, "I will go, but first you should eat this kheer while I am here." Mother Yasoda sits upon a splendid seat to watch Krishna eat the kheer to her full satisfaction. Then after washing his mouth and taking some tambul, Krishna offers obeisances to his mother, and Yasoda warmly embraces Krishna, and then she quickly goes to her room to please her beloved son. And then listen to what happens. Krishna reclines upon his bed, which is covered with fresh sheets as white as the foam produced from churning milk. And as Krishna rests his left arm on a large round bolster, he creates a most astonishing splendor. Krishna's pet parrots. Think that the beams of moonlight that are shining through the lattice windows are perches or crystal rods. And in their bewilderment, the parrots try to perch on the rod. Krishna enjoys this amusing scene. The small children surrounding Krishna, they burst out laughing, seeing the foolish antics of the parrots. And Krishna, though trying to be serious, can no longer contain himself. And he also laughs loudly. And then he accepts some tambul from his friends before going to bed. While relaxing in his bed, Krishna thinks about his upcoming pastimes with the gopis. And some servants come and they smoke the room with burning aguru crystals. And then they all leave. So Krishna takes a short nap, and then he gets up very quietly, although all his servants are sleeping around him in the room, and he very quietly leaves, and he goes to the forest to spend the evening with his beloved gopis. They perform rasa dancing and other extraordinarily beautiful evening pastimes. And then Radha and Krishna take rest within a beautiful forest cottage until around about 3:30 in the morning. And then Vrindadevi, seeing that morning is now coming, she awakens the divine couple and sends them swiftly to their respective homes. They enter their individual houses and return to their individual bedrooms. And there they lie down again and sleep for a few hours before Mother Yasoda comes to wake Krishna up again.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Gere Govardhan, Gere Govardhan, Gere Govardhan, Gere Govardhan. Jaya Gauranitai, 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 Jaya Gauranitai. Jaya Radha Gopinatha Radha Gopinatha Radha. Jaya Radha Govinda Radha Govinda Radha. Jaya Prabhupada 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 Prabhupada. Yeah.